calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Tips Net for Wednesday, February 24th, 2021. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I'll be in that control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. It's also available on Echolink. Look for W1DX-R, that's Whiskey 1 Delta X-Ray-Romeo. If needed, the secondary is the 146.67, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to, number one, provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, and number two, to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. Open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list of comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask for your question after everybody has checked in. The tips net has three sections. The first, that takes the most time, is the open net with rounds of questions and comments, as just described. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station when checking into the net. Please say, "This is," then release the mic button and listen to ensure no one else called at the same time you have. And if they haven't, then press the mic button again and slowly give your call sign phonetically, then your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. Again, this is the Tips Net with Net Control KC1TWR. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Six Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich, Connecticut. No questions.
This is Whiskey One Julie Oscar Papa John Mobile, currently in Groton, with a brief question.
Here is Whiskey One Romeo Papa Queen, Bob in Oakdale. Good evening. No question.
Kilo 1 Victor, Steve in Coventry, no question.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Gulf Quebec Zulu, Dan Montville, no questions.
Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston, no questions at this time.
Okay, Ned recognizes Kevin, KA6PDG. John, W1JOP with a mobile and with a question. Bob, W1RPQ. Steve, NK1V. Dan, KC1GQZ. And Dave, K1DCT. Any further check-ins, please call now.
This is K1JMN, Jerry and Preston. Good evening.
This is Jerry, K1JMN. Any further check-ins, please call now. This is... Go ahead, Jerry.
This is November Tango 1 Oscar, Jerry and Preston. Give me if you're having a problem.
Okay, we heard you that time, Jerry. Yes, I should mention, I should change the script a little bit. If you're checking in from Echo Link, do not press the mic, say this is, and then unpress and wait, and then press it again. You should just do it all in one shot. Just say this is, give your call sign, name, and location. If you have an issue other than that, hopefully you get it worked out by the time we get around again. So anyhow, Net recognizes Jerry, NT10. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, let's go back up close to the top of the list, but not to the top. Let's start with John, who's mobile. That gives him some priority. And more importantly than that, he has a question. All right, a good way to start the tip spit. So over to you, John. What's your question? W1JOP, KC1TWR.
This is W1JOP Mobile Groton. It's not technical. It's just looking for advice, I guess. I would like to join the Raytheon Club. However, I can't work at 7 o'clock on Thursdays and unable to make any meetings. So I know I asked you this directly over email, Tim. I didn't check my email yet, so I don't know if you replied. But how does one join a club without being able to attend a meeting? I know it's primarily all virtual now, but being on the road and Zoom kind of didn't work at the same time. And I'm back to that. This is W1GOP.
Okay, good question there, John. Actually, you join the club and you don't have to attend meetings to be a member of the club. If you go to the Raytheon.org website, on the left-hand side, you'll see a place where you can register as a new member of the club. It's basically a form you can print out and then mail in. Just a FYI for, I guess, general interest, most of the clubs in this area, southeastern Connecticut, have more members who have joined the club and submitted their dues and in that way shown that they support the local clubs. And yet I would say that about one-third of them actually attend meetings, or maybe even less in some cases. So just FYI that you can still join the club, you can still be part of their email threads, converse with them that way or on the air. You do not have to. Attending the meetings is not an absolute requirement. So hopefully that answers your question. And I did see the email, but I didn't get a chance to respond to it. But I will with basically the information I just said. So let me go back to John real quick and see if that makes sense. W1JOP, KC1TWR.
didn't even think about that. And just another comment, this is convenient on that Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night on my commute home, so this is convenient for me. W1GOP, back to that.
Okay, very good, John. And as we go down through the list of people, if anybody else has any advice they'd like to offer on that, they're perfectly welcome to. We're going to start at the very top again with Kevin. And the thing is, we've dealt with John's question and nobody else has any. I have two items to chat about possibly today. One of them actually came from a net that I attended last night, which was the Yale New Haven Amateur Radio Club. They were celebrating their 200 Radio Club at Yale, and they will doing their 250th edition of the weekly W1 Yankee Uniform Yale Net. And I found that very interesting. And one of the questions that they asked, or the question that they asked around, and I thought it was an interesting question, especially for those that have had their license for a number of years. If you went back and had to take the test again, tech or general or extra, which of those do you feel relatively confident that you could pass again? And, or your thoughts on that? Myself, I thought about it, and I said, even though I have a general license, I don't think there's any way I could pass the general just stone cold taking the test. I might have a fair shot at the technician, but I wouldn't bet money on it. And so I'm curious what everybody else is thinking on that. And here's the other item we can chat about, go bags. I've been reading a couple of interesting forums and where they've been talking about go bags, and somebody brought up a couple of items. One of them was the fact that, is your go bag so big and so cumbersome that if you arrived someplace where they needed you to set up your equipment, and they said, oh yeah, it's up those two flights of stairs, would you then hesitate? Secondly, if you went somewhere in an emergency and you had one of those go bags that had two radios, HF and one VHF, is it designed in such a way so that two people can operate at the same time? Or, as some people do you have two go bags? And or do you have, like, multiple go bags? Like, here's my power go bag, here's my VHF or my HF go bag, depending on what I'm going to be doing. So, those are my two thoughts that I have. And let's go to Kevin, see what he thinks about those two items, or maybe he's got something else he'd like to talk about. K6PDG, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
Well, I should have brought my note-taking device. I'll try and remember everything. Let me do John first, which is, and it may be self-explanatory, but they're on the website here, John. It'll give you an address to which to mail your membership remittance, which I think is $15. And so that'll be good. And remember the meetings, the on-air meetings, just like the regular club meetings when we get back to having them in person, are at 7:30. So I don't know if you are aware of that. Maybe by 7:30 you're within good range of the Norwich repeater and could participate. Just a thought. Let's see here. Okay, licenses. I feel comfortable with the technician. I think the general, there's been a lot of changes that I would need to study a little bit. And don't even talk to me about the extra. I've taken it like five times, and one of these days I'll take it a sixth time, so that probably answers that part of the question. Let me reset and a couple more quickie comments. Number one, for those of you who do, or maybe will in the future, go to the website am1700.org/tipsnet. Tim will give that again at the end of the net, but we do record the nets. You will notice that the last couple of weeks, the recording quality has not been great, and I apologize since I've been without my Kenwood V71A, which is at the Kenwood Hospital out west. I've had to fall back and bunt on my recording technique, and the quality isn't great. It's listenable, but that's about it. I mean, it's intelligible, but that's about it. So I mentioned that. It's something I'm aware of, and when I get my regular radio back, we'll be back to what I think are pretty high-quality recordings we've been getting the past year or whatever. And you mentioned a minor change to the preamble, and I was just going to mention, and I'll recite once more. I've been meaning, and it's usually called a preamble, by the way. I guess you can call it whatever you want. I've been thinking when I remember to sit down, grab the preamble, and I'd like to kind of do a rewrite. I've got a couple of things in mind to shorten it up a bit. I think some of these preambles on some of these nets are getting kind of wordy, and we could easily incorporate that echo link modification that you referred to. And that, of course, is just my perspective. It doesn't mean I represent the views of Mr. and Mrs. America and all the amateurs at sea. But one of these days I was thinking of sitting down and doing that and sending it to you, Tim, and then you could pull it apart and all that stuff. All the stuff you do so well, by the way. K6PDG, back to that.
Okay, thank you, John. That's right. Sorry, Brandon took a slip there. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin, KA6BDG. And, yeah, I'd be interested to see what edits you have in mind. And thank you for also mentioning that the address of the club is on the website of the race on. And I'll let John talk about what he's available for. We're actually just going to go to John next, A, because he's mobile. Secondly, he's actually second on the list. And even though we dealt with him earlier, I think he deserves a shot at this point. Maybe he's got an answer to the question about 7:30. Or which tech general or extra test he thinks he's comfortable with. And any thoughts on go bags. W1JOP, KC1TWR.
W1JOP, currently crossing to Preston, so it's good timing. I think once you get to the list, once I should be home. But I thank everybody for, or thanks Kevin and yourself for the information on the net. That's always hard, not nets, I mean the club. And go back, I would do as late as possible. I know I've done some work with Christina and Rick of the WeatherNet. I've been up to the USC there and I've seen their version of go bag. It's my idea would be kind of simple and gets to the point. And as far as the licenses go, I would be pretty comfortable with the technicians, but as I am a technician, that's probably where I'd leave it. Anyway, this is the Big Internet. This is W1GOP Mobile. 7:30.
Okay, very good, John. And good thoughts about the go bag and such. Let's move on to Bob, W1RPQ, see what he thinks about the Tech General Extra, the go bags, or anything else. WRPQ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is W1RPQ. I'll start with the testing. I think I would not have a problem with either of the tests, the Tech General or Extra. That's kind of what I do for a living, so that part of it I'm not too worried about. And just a little bit of studying, I think everybody can probably do a pretty good job with them. Go kits. I have several. I have a 2-meter go kit, which is really a go bag. It's in the car all the time. And it's got radio, extra battery, a couple of antennas in it, everything I would need for a 2-meter setup. I have an HF go kit with a battery box and a buddy pole that I use for going out into the field and activating things like that. And I have a third one, which is an emergency field day go box. And that has a 2-meter rig, a DMR, NHF, and a scanner in there as well. And that one's primarily set up if there was a big emergency and or for field day, everything's all in a box and you could have two to three people sitting there operating it. So pretty confident that one would work well. Plus I have small generators, large generators, and lots of batteries. With that, let me send it back to Net Control. This is W1RPQ.
Okay, very good, Bob. And definitely sounds like you're geared to the teeth and ready for any emergency that should come up with a different go kit for every occasion. That's very good. Okay, let's move on to Steve and see what he thinks about the Tech General Extra or go kits, NK1V, KC1TWR.
NK1V. On the testing, that was almost coming up 4 years I've had my ticket, and I was encouraged by my Elmer and the Hubbard Radio Club when I took their class and the tests and such to push right through with the general at the same time, and I studied for both, and it was quite, actually, pretty seamless. It wasn't easy, but it was pretty seamless. So I actually feel I could probably pass both those with little or no problem. The extra was a little bit tough, but I on the day I took the extra, I don't know how much I actually understood what I was getting tested on. But one thing I will say, over the past few years of just doing a lot of radio activities and experimenting and so on, I much better understand what those questions were about. So I actually think I could probably do a little bit better on it this round. You know, I'd have to do a quick breeze over for the, just to line myself up a little bit better. But I actually have a much better understanding of what's going on in this hobby now than when I actually took the test. It was interesting. Now let me reset. And also the Goldback thing. Of course, I got something to say about that. Like the way Bob does it, different setups for different situations. I do a lot of portable operations, parts on the air, and I like to do some it's on the air, but part of my practice for that is I'm actually reassembling a, as Bob would call it, go box, more for like a semi-portable situation where you may or may not have some sort of vehicle to transport, may or may not have some sort of generator or something, kind of in the middle, but being able to cover a lot more different formats and bands and stuff, and also different situations. So I'm actually working on redoing one of those. I've pretty much, I wouldn't say perfected, but I've quite done well with my go back for hiking. I did just before winter or early winter, I did a nice, it's got to be a 90-minute hike up Lamination Mountain, and I had it dialed in pretty good. I've got it around 20, just under 25 pounds, low power HF, and then VHF only with an HT, but the antenna setup I have is convertible to that, so it would be a single operator. I think you asked that also. And I think I've redone it now. I was doing some hand logging, but I believe with my small laptop, I can still keep it under 25 pounds, still have plenty of food and water, for a day outing, and be able to do some digital modes also in that. So that's kind of interesting. It's kind of good. I've got that in pretty good, but I do, it's not good for every situation, but one for each one. I think that covers that. I'll back to that. And K1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve. And it's interesting, both you and Bob, and I think others, have go kits dependent on your activities, what activities you anticipate doing. And that's a good advice for those that are out there thinking about building their own boxes. Before we go any further, I'd like to do another call out for anybody else that would like to join us on the TipsNet. If you would like to join us, please come now with your call sign. Okay, let's continue down the list. Next up is Dan, and I again, the question is, tech, general, or extra, which test do you think you're still confident you could probably pass? And what are your thoughts about go bags, and if you have one? KC1GQZ, KC1TWR.
Relay.
One second, was that Kevin?
You have a station trying to check in. The Kilo Charlie 1 Oscar Sierra, you are on the output of the repeater, so you want to flip your radio so that you're on duplex, and next time that control asks for check-ins, you'll be able to hit the repeater. You're transmitting on the output. Sorry, Tim, just trying to be helpful. K6PDG.
I appreciate that, Kevin. Absolutely. And for the station, we still have a few people we get to before we get to you, so I will do another call out in about 5 or 6 minutes or so. So hang in there and get yourself on the input of the repeater. Let's so go ahead, Dan. KC1GQZ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is KC1GQZ. Well, for the license, I would say I'm comfortable going for the technician and passing that as a cold test. I did try the extra without studying, kind of a cold test, when I was doing my general, and I got pretty close. I mean, I got a 60, so I'm sure if I did do some studying, I could probably go for that one. I just never did sit down and do studying. Regarding the go kits, I don't really have one dying, but I do have a couple of HTs, Whisphere batteries. One's an analog, one's an analog DMR combo unit. All my rigs that I have between the home and the truck, though, or the trucks, they all use the same power connector, and I have adapters for those power connectors to go cigarette lighters, directly to batteries. I have a few small station batteries that are in the house that I keep charged all the time that I could grab quickly. So I could grab all the radios. I will not have, I do not have a portable antenna for HF. I just have UHF and VHF. So, and that includes grabbing the amp for the 2 meter. I can do that off the same power plugs. So again, I don't have a kit built, but probably in less than 10 minutes, I could have all my equipment into one vehicle ready to go. This is KC1GQZ, back to net control.
Okay, very good, Dan. One thought that I would have, just to throw this out there real quick, is you may want to actually test gathering everything together and put it together and make sure it works, and come up with a list, the checkoff list, if you will, so that in the future, if you do need to run out somewhere, you don't forget some important adapter, cable, or what have you. Although, getting all the radios to work off of the same power adapter is definitely a benefit. Good move there. Okay, let's move on to Dave, K1DCT. Same question. This is KC1TWR.
All right, well, good evening to all. This is K1DCT. Let's see, as far as the testing goes, you know, walk-in cold, I could probably squeak by all the way to extra. I mean, there's enough of the, we'll call the meat and potatoes of it that still exists. And the rest of it, I'll just guess at. But I might be able to squeak by. But with a, you know, give me a day or two review, and I'd have no problem. You gotta remember, I took most of my tests in front of the FCC, so it's not a comfortable atmosphere. So that certainly was very different back then. Let's see. And as far as the go kits, yeah, I really don't have a VHF, UHF go kit. I mean, I've got stuff here that, you know, I could grab a radio and mag mount and power supply and a battery and be ready to go in a short amount of time. And, I've got enough clip leads and alligator clips and that kind of stuff. I can hook up to pretty much anything anywhere. HF-wise, I do have a whole little kit put together with my KX3 and antenna, so I could, that's ready to go pretty much any time. Battery could probably use a little charge, but we could get that going in a short amount of time. So that's brought in on the go kits. And I'll throw this in about the clubs. I've not been a member of any of the clubs in quite some time. And last year was considering that, I should probably get back into it. And then, of course, we all know what came along. I don't even want to say it. Like John, I think I'm probably going to just rejoin them. And if I don't make any of the meetings, that's okay. Because I know Raycon falls on the same night as an entirely different type of club that I belong to, but they haven't been meeting either. So, we get stuff in a newsletter and, everything's remote control. So I think I think I covered it all. I don't know. Back to that, K1DCT.
Definitely interesting having your HF kit all set to go. It's probably the one you use for summer field days and things of that nature. That's good. And the other club that you belong to has not been meeting. Raycon has been holding their meetings on the Norwich repeater at 7:30 on the third Thursday. Okay, let's move on to Jerry, K1JMN. Which test do you feel that you're still capable of passing? And also, what are you doing, or what are your thoughts on go bags, what they should contain, or relatively to, I'm botching this up again. Okay, let me start over again. What are your thoughts about go bags? K1JMN, KC1GWR.
KC1GWR, K1JMN. Good evening, everyone. Start with the testing. I think I can do the technicians and the general test without much review, but I would prefer to do a review before I tackle them. And as far as go bags, well, I haven't got anything to do for a go bag just yet, except for this 2-meter radio. So that's the only thing I have that I can take with me anywhere. And it's not really like a go bag that you can, just whip it out and get out and hit the road with it. I have to dismantle it from here, so it's not really part of any go bag, but it's easily dismantled and put in the car, and I can take it like that. And I don't have anything for HF, but I'm working on that. So I really don't know what it takes other than a battery, a radio, and an antenna. So I'm still working on that. So, that's all I have. K1JMN, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Good comments. We have one more on the list, but before we get to the other Jerry, I'd like to do another call out, see if anybody else would like to check in, see if that other station can check in at this time. If you'd like to check into the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, please come now with your call sign.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Oscar, Sierra, Charlie, Alex, and Preston. No questions.
Okay, that recognizes KC1OS,
And I missed the name and the location. My apology on that. I'll get that from you when we get down to you. Okay, let's go to Jerry next, NTU10, and the same question, which test do you think you can pass, and also, what are your thoughts on go boxes, NT10, KC1TWR.
Okay, let's go on to KC10S, and could
give me your call sign, phonetically your name and location, and then tell me, or tell us rather, if you've been listening, which test you think you can pass, tech, general, or extra, and any thoughts on go-backs. And if you have a recommendation for Jerry, as far as a mobile ring he could use inside the house, or a desk radio for 2 meter full 40, a lot to ask of you. KC1OS, KC1PWR. KC1OS, this is KC1CWR. Are you back on the repeater frequency, or are you not there? Please come back if you are there. KC1OS, KC1CWR.
KC1OSC. Sorry, I'm having a little trouble here with my handy phone.
Okay, I heard you that time. Could you give me your call sign phonetically, Kilo Charlie 1, and then the rest of it, and then tell us what you think about go boxes and so forth. Not hearing anything, and knowing that you're on an HT, I'm guessing that maybe you have a low battery, and that when you transmit a little bit, then it cuts out on you. At least that's what I'm thinking. I could be wrong, though. Let me give you one more try, and then we'll have to skip you and go to the next person. KC1, I think it was OFP. This is KC1TWR.
Charlie, checking in with some questions. Can relay, Tim, K1DCC.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Yes, that's Kilo Charlie 1, Oscar Sierra Charlie, OSC. His name is Alex. Short for Alexander, and he's located here in Preston.
Okay, great to have you join the net there, Alex, and glad to have you here. Hopefully we can help you out maybe after the net on working it out so you can get a better signal into the repeater. Sometimes it's just location, standing 2 feet left or right, or on the other side of the house or what have you, that can make a difference. Do you want to give it one more try? And if not, we'll go on to the next person. Okay, not hearing anything. I think we're going to move on so we don't try to net too long. But glad you were able to join us, Alex. Hopefully you're able to hear us okay. And let's go ahead and go around to the top. I'd like to do one more quick run through to give everybody a second shot at talking on the net this evening. And I think the main question we're going to ask coming down through this time is a question that Jerry, NT10, was asking, which is, what is everybody's recommendation for a 2 meter 440 radio? He says it doesn't need any DMR or digital or D-Star, that kind of thing. And yeah, I guess that's the question for him to use inside the house. So let's start with Kevin, K6PDG. This is KC1TWR on the tip set.
Let's see how quick I can go. First, welcome. That's a very important thing. Welcome to Alex. Hope you get the rig working right, and any of us that can help, we'll be happy to do that. For NT10, your audio is extremely light. You have to keep your voice up, I suspect, or get closer to the mic. I think Tim was hearing you better because you're on echo link. There also is a lot of clipping and cutting out. I think it may be your internet connectivity or your Wi-Fi. But at least if you can get the voice up a little bit there, NT10. GoBox has one more comment, two quick comments. Remember the, sometimes you can be out handling, standing by to handle emergency traffic. It can be very boring. They say a productive net is a quiet net. So have the creature comforts, not only your roll of the TP, but your crossword puzzle, or your favorite book, or your Rubik's Cube, or doodle pad, doodle on, to keep yourself occupied when things are quiet. The other thought about go bags is consider where you might be operating from, or at least as a mental exercise, and I'll reset. As a mental exercise, think about what places you might be called upon to operate from by a served agency or by the person coordinating your operations. What happens if you have to operate from a boat? Could you do that? Operate from a tent, operate outdoors, operate standing up on foot, operate from an EOC, which is probably fairly comfortable. You're going to have a desk in an air-conditioned room. But the different environments in which you might be called upon to operate, and the idea of having more than one go kit's a good option if you're able to do that. On the 2-meter 440 rig for NT10, I love the Kenwood V71A. It's not a cheap radio. I think it's around $360, but it'll do everything you want. It's 50 watts on the high power. And you also can do the remote-based stuff and all sorts of jazz, but it's not an overdone radio. If you just want to operate voice, it will do very, very well for you, and you can cross-band with it too. K6PDD.
Okay, very good recommendations on the GoPack there, Kevin. And I agree with you. I'm partial to the Kenwood V71A as well. Let's move on to John, W1JOP. He may not be there because they may have already gotten home, but we'll give it a shot anyhow. W1JOP, KC1TWR, and the tips net. Cooking himself some dinner after a very long day at work. We'll move on to Bob, W1RPQ. What's your recommendation for a 2-meter 440 indoor radio? W1RPQ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is W1RPQ. Wow, there's so many out there, and all the newer ones are all really good. In my shack, at the house, I use an Alinco DR735. I like that because it has a TNC connection for it, so I can use it for other things, but it's a really good quality 2-meter 440 mobile rig. I also have a Yaesu 400DX in my vehicle. It's another outstanding 2-meter 440 rig. So there's so many of them out there. I think it's a price range, and you really need to look at features, something you might be interested in. I wouldn't go short. You know, you say you may not be interested in any digital modes, but I'd hate to spend $300 on a radio, and then, you know, 6 months from now, you find that you might be, wow, maybe give this DMR stuff a try. So I do some really good research and then kind of go from there and see what you want to do. W1RPQ, back to net.
Bob, good advice. And besides digital, there's also a built-in TNC terminal node connector, which allows you to do WinLink, which allows you to do email via RF. But anyhow, for a basic 2-meter 440, Steve, what do you recommend? NK1B, KC1TWR.
First of all, for honorable mention, because Bob mentioned it, I am on currently an Alinco, which is only the VHF, an Alinco TR-135 at 5 watts, beaming in from Coventry, Connecticut, and seem to be doing a pretty good job. So that's don't under, if you come across an Alinco, don't be shy about it, because they're good radios, so you don't see a lot of them. I am... consider myself an ICOM guy, but I have two, and I actually regret selling the third one, and the FT-7900 from Yaesu happens to be my favorite VHF, UHF radio, mainly because of its programming ease and ability and the amount of banking and stuff it has to put lots of frequencies in and repeaters and stuff and have them all on board, but yet hide them. So if you travel or do anything like that. But Kevin made a valid point. If you want to do crossband, B71A from Kenwood might be a little bit better. I've never tried one, and now I'm actually kind of thinking about that. What am I missing? Let me reset real quick. As far as HTs, from here in Coventry, I was actually doing, getting able to get an origin stuff. My first radio was just an HT for the first 6 months or so after I got my ticket. And I love the Woosung. I have several different ones. There's six, I think I have a three. I've had Yaesus and ICOMs and stuff, and they're great, and they're nice. They're higher quality. I've had some of the cheaper ones, too. But I've had pretty good luck with them, and they also offer their software to program it, which is at no charge. So as with any of the Asian radios, you know, the off ones, they're a little bit tricky to program. And one quick thing on the back on the go back thing. Let me reset one more time. Funny story. I work in a large plant, and it's a multi location facility, but they're all within walking distance, and especially on a day like today, I'm often have multiple taps across the borders of the, including crossing a railroad and everything, and one of the things that I often carry, as opposed to driving, like it's horrible, I'll just drive around, but is a backpack, very similar to the backpack I use for my hiking goal kit, and I intentionally try to get the weight as close as I can to the one that I use for hiking so that it simulates that, and four, I actually get paid to condition myself to do some parks on the air stuff, and maybe one day a soda activation at a decent place or something, and just have that ready, just carrying it around and getting used to it, because don't think that if, I don't know, at 50 years old, you're going to just throw a backpack on one day and walk 2 miles into the woods and set up a radio station. And someone made a comment on the, I think Kevin did, on the and under any situation, a few miscellaneous niceties, you know, the basic first aid and the TV and the, just a couple little things and snacks and plenty of fluids. You know, you got to calculate that into the weight if you're going to be on foot for any amount of time or out in the elements for any amount of time. Back to that, NK1B.
Recommendations all the way around. Myself, talking about HTs, first HT I ever had was a Yaesu FT-60R, and I really liked that. Among other things, I liked the fact that it had a manual squelch ring on one of the posts instead of having to press a button and hit another button in order to try and adjust it. It had a nice manual adjustment to it. Okay, let's move on to Dan, KC1GQZ, see what he recommends for 2 meter 440. This is KC1TWR and the TIPSnet.
KC1TWR and KC1GQZ. Well, I've only been in this for about three and a half years, but the research I was doing, I decided to go with Yaesu for my units. So my 2 meter or 77 meter is the FT-8900R. I picked that as a 50 watt unit. Has cross band repeater capability. Can actually listen to two different frequencies at the same time. You just got to switch your main over to whatever one you want to transmit on. small unit. I like the detachable face from the main body of the radio. So it was easy to mount in the truck. I actually mounted the base unit under the seat and detached the face and put that up on the dash. So a little tight area there. And I also do have my HT is the FT60, just like yours, Tim. And I agree, I do like it. That's all I have. The KC1 GQZ back to net control.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Yeah, the Yaesu FT60, good, like the old 0.6 engines. That's my view of it. There was something else I was going to say based on what you said, and crossband. Just to make sure that the right people understand, anybody listening understands the reason that crossband can be very helpful, as several people in the area have found, is that you can use your little HT on 440 to crossband through your mobile rig. In other words, you can be outside in the yard. Meanwhile, you use the HT to talk through your mobile rig to the 2-meter repeater and be able to do it, not have to be right at the radio inside. If you want to move around and even listen to a net, or even be part of a net. So that's why crossband can be helpful. Okay, let's move on to Dave, K1DCT. See what he recommends for 2-meter 440. This is KC1TWR in the tips net.
All right, this is K1DCT. Well, I do not actually have any experience with a 2-meter 440 rig. I'm really not a big 440 fan. It seems like you need to run an awful lot of power to get back to the repeater. But I can recommend the ICOM 2300 for 2-meter only, and it's only about 160 bucks. I'm looking online at some of these 2-meter 440, and I think the least one is 250. And that's also an ICOM. I am a big ICOM fan, always have been. And if I told you what my first HT was, it would probably scare most of you. So I'll do that now. It was a Wilson. I think it had 6 channels, all crystal controlled. Think about that a little bit. I think that's about all I wanted to hit on. Oh yeah, about Steve mentioned, you know, being able to hike in somewhere. Well, I'm quite capable of doing that, so I'm not afraid to carry a little, carry some extra stuff anytime. Back to net, K1DCT.
Okay, next we move on to Jerry, K1JMN. See what he thinks for recommendation for a 2-meter 440 radio, KC1TWR, and the tips net.
No, thanks, Tim. K1JMN. Well, I can only go with what I have, and what I know is I like my ICOM 5100. It seems to work okay for me. I'm still learning it, as I'm learning, you know, the hobby still. There's a lot for me to learn still, but I'm having fun with it. It works for me. I can do crossband on it. It is a little bit more higher priced than the other radios that were mentioned, but there's room to grow here. And it does have D-Star, and not a lot of people are using it around here, but that's okay. But it works well, and it's easy to get to the menus. I've gotten accustomed to working through the menus, so it's easy, and it has a lot of potential. So that's my 2 cents. K1JMN, back to net.
Thank you, Jerry. Okay, now we come around to the man of the hour who asked the question. Jerry, NT10,
What's your response to all these suggestions there? This is KC1TWR and the TIPSnet.
Well, as always, I very much appreciate the input. Listening to Bob saying to tell the chief to get something, saying, you know, keep myself room to go into other things, and Jeremy just said something similar, and perhaps with the evidence and something like NGN-718 or 82. And I believe that digital was recommended. And I definitely think I would like to accept the release. So really what I have to take me to see is whatever brand I buy with model, it's probably better to spend more money now to see what it is. That's something. I avoid your bullet points. So I definitely want to thank you to some degree.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. And we got most of what you said, but you're still having that in and out on Echolink. It doesn't show that you dropped from Echolink. It's just like somebody turns off your microphone for a split second here and there and there and there. So maybe we'll need to work on that. Maybe after the net we can help you with that. Okay, let's go on to Alex, see if he's able to get into a better position to transmit. Be curious to see what kind of radio he's using and what kind of antenna he's using to get into the net tonight. Alex, KC1OSC, KC1TWR, the TIPSnet.
KC1OSC, thanks guys. Right now I'm using just a little mouse bang with a upgraded 27-inch Aubrey antenna. And hopefully I'm trying to face more towards the repeater, see if I can get into you guys. Let me know. Back to back.
Okay, very good, Alex. I had to turn up my volume quite a ways, but I was able to hear you for that full transmission, so that's an improvement. You're getting there. Absolutely. Another thing you can do with the Baofeng is you can get an adapter and hook it up to either a J-pole or a mag mount antenna, and that'll even increase, make it better, or you can build yourself a little quarter wave antenna. That'll also help. Okay. Let's see now. We've gone through the list twice, and it's after 8 o'clock. I think we should need to move on to the next section. But before we do, are there any other check-ins or any other comments on what we've been talking about? Please come with your call sign now. Okay, let's go into the second section. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Please call now.
KA6PDG.
Okay, KA6PDG, please proceed. to add to that, that they also have been recording these sessions. They can make them available to you if you reach out to the club or to Mark, KE1IU. Okay, let's go into the third section. And in the third section, is there anyone who wishes to swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio-related items? Please call now.
Everyone a good evening in 73.